I'd like to welcome everyone out to the service this morning, and we welcome as our preacher today Mr. Stephen Crawford. Stephen is a licentiate minister of the Free Presbyterian Church. The evening service at 7 p.m. preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and the preacher will again be Mr. Crawford. This Thursday night at 8 p.m. the midweek meeting is a deputation meeting, and the speaker will be Mr. Glenn Hamilton, who is going out as a missionary to Uganda, and the offering will be to support him. Next Lord's Day, the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7, and the preacher will be the Reverend Marcus Leckie. And next Lord's Day, the polling for the ministerial poll, those poll sheets are to be returned. And if you can't be out next Sunday to bring them back, if you give them to a member of session before next Easter Sunday. Next weekend is the Easter Convention at the Morris Memorial on Friday, the 29th at 8 p.m. The speaker is the Reverend Timothy Nelson, the principal of the Whitfield College. The Whitfield College students will be participating, and the Free Presbyterian Youth Council Choir will be singing. On Saturday at 7:30 p.m. is a missionary rally, and the speaker is Dr. John McKnight, who was pastor in Reformation Bible Church in Maryland, USA, and International Free Presbyterian missionaries will be participating. And on Monday at 7 p.m. the speaker is again Dr. John McKnight, and the singers are the Macrofelt Choir, and again missionaries will be participating. Next Sunday, 31st of March, Cookstown Church are having an after-church youth rally at 8:45 p.m. and the speaker is the Reverend Paul Thompson. There's a sheet on the hall table regarding Let the Bible Speak TV recording. They're trying to do extra recordings to cover the time when they're moving to their new studio. And they've asked if it was possible for 6 Mile Across to help provide a congregation on Wednesday, the 10th of April. So we've left out a sheet to see if that's feasible, if there's anyone that can go that night. So if you can go that night, put your name on the list, and then we'll see from there what happens.
Well, I'd like to thank Mr. Jervis for the very kind words of welcome, and your interim moderator, Mr. Leckie, for the opportunity to be along today to minister God's word. Before we go any further, perhaps we'll just take a moment to still our hearts before the Lord in a word of prayer. Our loving Father and our eternal God, we come humbly and reverently before thee this morning in Jesus' precious and worthy name. We thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for the return of another Sabbath day. We thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for enabling each and every one of us to be gathered out under the sound of thy word today. And Lord, we do pray that we would know thy presence in this meeting this morning. We just commit it into thy care and thy keeping. And we ask and pray that in all things our hearts would be lifted up to the Saviour, that, Lord, our attention and our focus would be upon him today, and that he would have all the glory and all the honour and all the preeminence in this service of worship. For it is in our Saviour's precious and our Saviour's worthy name we do humbly ask and pray all these things. Amen. Amen. We're turning to Psalm 116. I love the Lord because my voice in prayer is heeded here. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Psalm 116, found on page 110 of our hymn books, and we will sing the first 8 verses of this psalm together. Amen. Well, we're returning to our Bibles for our first Bible reading this morning, to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll commence reading at verse 18, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, verse 32. So let us hear the word of God as it's found in Ephesians chapter 4, commencing at verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning for his own name's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, let us again come before the Lord in a word of prayer, and let us seek him together at the throne of grace. Our loving God and eternal Father, we continue humbly and reverently before thee now in our Saviour's precious and in our Saviour's worthy name. And we thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for the words of that psalm that we have been singing, how that we love the Lord because he heard our voice and attended unto our prayer. And Lord, we thank thee that we come to the God that hears and answers prayer. We thank thee that, Lord, we do not come to one who is the figment of our own imagination. We do not come to one that has been concocted or dreamed up by the schemes and hearts of men, but we come to the one true and living God who has revealed himself unto us, not only through his word, but also through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the dear Heavenly Father for revealing unto us the need of our souls to be saved, that, Lord, that had sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to save we who are guilty, vile, wretched, hell-deserving sinners. And we thank thee for salvation so rich and so free. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And, O our Heavenly Father, we bless thee that we come to a God not only who hears and answers prayer, but a God who is interested in each and every one of us here today. I thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for bringing each and every one of us out in health and in strength and in safety upon the roads today. We do not take these things for granted. We do not take for granted as well the fact that we have come from homes where we've had heating and lighting and electricity, food to eat, Lord, clothes to wear, and a roof over our heads. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for today. And Lord, we do pray that we would not take any one of these many blessings which have come from thy hand for granted. But Lord, we would acknowledge the giver of the gifts and not just be taken up with the gifts themselves. We thank thee that every good gift and every perfect gift is from thee, from our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights with whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for today. And Lord, we do pray for those who are not as fortunate as ourselves. We think of, Lord, those who meet in fear in different parts of the world today. We think of our brethren and sisters across this world who are living in fear of their lives, Lord, because of their profession of faith in Christ, because of their love of Christ. And we pray that, Lord, wherever thy people are assembled in fear or underground today, that, Lord, thou wilt be with them, that thou wilt bless them and undertake for them. Lord, we thank thee that we meet in freedom today, none hindering us from coming to the house of God, none hindering us from proclaiming the word of God today. And Lord, we thank thee for these freedoms and privileges that we have, and for those who lay down their lives for the freedoms and privileges which we have. Lord, we thank thee for every head bowed in thy presence, every home and every individual and every family represented. And Lord, certainly as our faces differ, so do our needs. And I pray that thou will meet every one of us at the point of our need. We pray for those today who cannot be with us, perhaps even watching in online from their homes, or perhaps even a hospital bed or a loved one's residence. Lord, we pray that, Lord, that thou will be with them. Lord, touch those who are sick of this congregation. We lift them up to thee, the great physician, and we pray that, Lord, thy hand would be of healing would be upon them for good. And Lord, it would please thee to raise them up again to a goodly measure of health and strength. We pray for those today, Lord, who are downcast, who are feeling discouraged. And Lord, certainly at times in our own lives we can feel like that. We can allow the sorrows and the tribulations of life to overcome us. And Lord, we pray for such today, perhaps even in this congregation, who are feeling like that, perhaps even feeling depressed, Lord. Lord, we pray that they would know the comfort and the presence of the triune God to be their portion. That, Lord, thou wilt draw graciously near to them in their time of need. And Lord, lift them up, we pray. Lord, we pray that they would be like the psalmist, to lift their eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh their help. Lord, we praise thee that our help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Think of the fact that David, the psalmist, could say in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, that thou art the strength of the lives of thy people. And though we pray for those especially this morning, whether in the meeting house this morning or watching online, who are not saved, O God, we pray for them. We pray for those who are far from God today. Perhaps they once walked well with thee. They once walked close with thee, Lord. But today they are out in the mountains wild and bare. Their hearts are cold and far from thee today. O our Heavenly Father, we praise thee that it's not thy will that the backslidden should be far from thee. But Lord, that they would be back walking closely with thee. Lord, restore unto such, I pray, the joy of thy salvation. Warm their hearts, we pray. May they have a fresh view of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And may they desire to come back into fellowship with him. And Lord, we thank thee that thou wert able to restore unto them the years and the times which the locusts have eaten. And bless them and raise them up again to a closer walk with thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt do that in this congregation and in our province this very day for the glory and honour of thy name. Lord, as it was prayed earlier in the time of prayer, that, Lord, thou wilt remember the different works across the United Kingdom and south of Ireland, our sister congregations, those especially that are vacant, those that are struggling today. We do pray that thou wilt undertake for them, that thou wilt draw graciously near, that thou wilt pour out thy spirit, that thou wilt work in each of those communities in which those witnesses are found. And that, Lord, thou wilt be pleased to do a work of grace and to draw men and women and young people and boys and girls in under the sound of thy word. And Lord, we pray for our sister congregations. We pray for Six Mile Cross this morning. We do ask and pray that we would know a real sense of thy presence in our meeting here this morning and this evening. And Lord, we would be able to say it was good for us to be here, for here we met afresh with thee. Lord, we thank you for the words of Holy Scripture that we read a few moments ago. And Lord, we pray that those things which we have read will be true of each and every one of us as thy people this morning. Help us and bless us as we become in a few moments' time around thy word. That Lord, thou will come and speak to our hearts. And help us not just to be hearers, but to be doers of thy word as well. O our Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And continue with us in this service of worship. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again, and we're turning to hymn 479. Hymn 479, based upon the words of Psalm 139. And there the hymn writer penned the words, "Search me, O God, my actions try, and let my life appear as seen by thyself, thine all-searching eye." Hymn 479, let's stand and sing it to the Lord's praise. Amen. Well, we're turning for our second Bible reading today to the book of Proverbs and the Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll read together the first 14 verses of this portion of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 8 and the verse number 1. And there the word of God says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing toward, or nothing froward, or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Amen. May God bless the second reading from his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to have our third hymn, our item of praise, and we'll remain seated while your tithes and offerings for the Lord's work are lifted up. Hymn 335, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain free to all the healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Hymn 335, and remain seated at this time. Let's stand for verses 3 and 4, please.
In thy glory.
Well, as we come to the Word of God, let us take a moment to bow ourselves before the Lord again, and let us ask for his help upon his word this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy many blessings to us. We pray that thou wilt use these tithes and offerings that have been offered up to thee for the glory and honour of thy name, for the extension of thy kingdom, not just in this place, but Lord, right across our province and further afield, to the glory and honour of thy name. And as we would come now around thy precious word, we do ask and pray for that help which we desperately need from the Holy Spirit, which I, as the speaker, certainly need, Lord. I come, Lord, to thee in all of my inability, in my unworthiness, and I just cast myself upon thy mercy, O God. I pray that thou wilt take us up and use us for the glory and honour of thy name. Hide us far behind the cross. Empty me of self and of sin, and fill me with God, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, close us in now with thyself. Take away all distracting thoughts and speak to our hearts. Give us a teachable and receptive heart, we pray. And may each and every one of us, Lord, not just be hearers, but Lord, may we be doers of thy word. For it is in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, and it is a verse number 13 that I want to think with you upon for a few moments this morning. And there, the writer in the book of Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." The book of Proverbs is that book of the Bible which we can associate with the theme of biblical wisdom. Because out of that book, the word wisdom occurs here most out of all of the 66 books of the Word of God. This word wisdom is to be found 53 times in the book of Proverbs alone. So certainly there is much for us to glean in regards to wisdom from this book. And certainly as we come to verse number 13 of Proverbs chapter 8, we have read those familiar words, "the fear of the Lord." Now those words occur 15 times in the book of Proverbs, and in each of those 15 instances we are instructed in how we are to fear the Lord. And I want us to think about this one that we find in Proverbs 8 verse 13 this morning. It is the fourth of those, the fear of the Lord's sayings in this book. And as I was reading these words this past week, I thought of the fact that these are words perhaps which are not as maybe familiar to us, perhaps words we have not even heard preached upon before. And certainly they came with power to my own heart and challenge. And certainly I believe we have here the attitude of the Christian, or what ought to be the attitude of the child of God today. And as we think of the attitude of the Christian this morning, I simply want to bring two thoughts and to leave those with you this morning. And the first of those is this, that the attitude of the Christian is to have reverence for the Lord. Reverence for the Lord. The writer there, Solomon, we believe, he says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Now, of course, what do we mean, or what does the writer here mean by the word fear? Is he talking about an anxiety which we ought to have? Is he talking about to be petrified? Is this what he means by this word fear? Well, that word fear in the original Hebrew, it really means to be morally reverent. To be morally reverent. It is translated into our English language from two similar Hebrew words. The first of those is dreadful. And we find that in Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 18. I'll just read it to you. "As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four." So it's translated also as dreadfulness, but it is also translated as fearfulness. Psalm 55 in the verse 5 says, "Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." You and I, we are living in days in which the Lord is not honoured and worshipped as he ought to be. And certainly not only in wider society amongst the ungodly is God not honoured or reverenced, but sadly even within Christendom, within, we could say, the umbrella of evangelical Christianity. Whenever we look across the stratosphere of evangelical Christianity today, there have been many churches sprung up and many so-called preachers, and we see little of the fear of the Lord in their preaching. We see little fear of the Lord in their worship and how they conduct worship. And of course, I'm speaking of here a reverential awe for the Lord, to be in awe of the Lord. I wonder, have you lost the awe of the Lord, brother or sister, this morning? I think of the words of Exodus chapter 3, and whenever Moses was spoken to by the Lord in the burning bush, and the Lord called out unto Moses from the burning bush and told Moses to take off his sandals because the place where he was holy ground. And whenever I read words like that, I'm just gripped by the thought of how holy and how we ought to be in awe of the Lord. Of course, we could turn to many passages of Scripture to cause us to think of the holiness and the greatness of our God. That's just personally speaking, whenever I think of the Lord and how we are to approach the Lord and how we are to respect and reverence the Lord, that's just one portion that personally speaks to me. But we are to reverence the Lord, because we're coming to the one true and living God. You could think as well of whenever the children of Israel were being led out of Egypt, and the Lord performed all those many mighty miracles, disproving all the false gods of the Egyptians, and how the Lord parted the Red Sea for his people, how he redeemed them and brought them through. And even whenever the people were camped below the mountain, and Moses went up the mountain and God spoke to Moses, and the Lord came down in the form of a cloud and spoke to his servant Moses as a man speaketh with his friend face to face. And certainly those ought to bring to us the awe of the Lord, to think of how holy and how mighty the Lord our God is. God forbid that we would ever lose the awe and reverence and respect for the Lord which we ought to have. If you turn over with me to Psalm 89, Psalm 89, let us read some verses there. Psalm 89 in the verse 6 says, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and the waves thereof arise. Thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, and as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them." And there we see the psalmist speaks there of how God is to be feared. He is to be reverenced. Where? In the assembling of his saints, the assembling of his people together in the house of God. Whenever we as the people of God meet together, we are to reverence the Lord. We are to have that awe of the Lord, that respect and reverence for him. That's why we see so little of reverence in these so-called church circles and in these so-called preachers. It is because they want to do away with what they see as old-time religion. They want to be relevant. They want to appeal to people. Now, I can understand that we want to gain the attention of society today. But does that mean that we cast off the reverent worship of the Lord? Does that mean that we treat God as our buddy, as our mate? No, but we are to have reverence and fear for the Lord. Yes, we want to try and reach the generation of today, but it doesn't mean that we should change our methods of worship. It does not mean that we should try to be relevant in the sense of attracting the tastes and the sensations of people going today. Because God is a spirit, and we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, the Saviour told us in John chapter 4, verse 24. And he says here that we are to fear the Lord. Of course, that name Lord there, or that word Lord there, is the Hebrew name Jehovah, signifying that the Lord, he is the self-existent, and he is the eternal one. The psalmist from which we read just a moment or two ago, he spoke of the Lord or the God as being the one who is incomparable. There's none other in this universe like the Lord our God. You look at all the false gods and the religions of this world, and many of them are very similar. Particularly we think of the Greeks and the Romans, how their false gods were very similar in their what they were, their rules were, and what they could and what they couldn't do. But there is none that we can compare to the Lord today, because he's totally unique. There's no God like the Lord. He is the Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God. And only he is holy. You know, many today would refer to the Pope or the Dalai Lama as his holiness. But who are these but men? Fallen, sinful men. And these men are certainly not holy in the sense as the Lord is holy. The Lord is holy. You think of Isaiah chapter 6, if you want to turn with me there to Isaiah 6. Very familiar words, I'm sure, to many of us here. Isaiah the prophet is in the temple of the Lord. Isaiah 6 and the verse 3. In fact, we'll read verse 2. And it stood the above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So there we see that these angelic creatures, the seraphim, they could not even look upon the Lord. That they had two wings to cover their faces. They had two wings to cover their feet. And with two wings they flew around the presence of the Lord, crying, Holy, holy, holy. And that is the Lord whom we serve. That is the Lord who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners like you and me. Whenever you think of these angelic beings in the very near presence of the Lord, crying out and declaring the holiness of the Lord, surely that ought to cause us to think of how holy the Lord must be. So holy that even the very posts in the temple moved at his voice. Whenever Moses was up the mountain with the Lord, Moses could not look upon the Lord. The people could not have looked upon the Lord. Why? Because of the Lord's perfection, they would have died instantly. And yet that is how holy our God is, and how he ought to be respected and reverenced. Now, what did Isaiah say? He said, "Woe, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." You see, Isaiah recognized his own sinfulness before this holy God. And that's what society needs today. That's what sinners need to recognize today. Their own sinfulness, their own depravity against the Lord who is holy and without sin. And surely that ought to cause us as believers to see our own sinfulness before the Lord who is holy, causing us to confess our sins and to ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. Isaiah recognized his need of cleansing. Of course, the angel came with the live coal from off the altar and touched his lips and cleansed him. There's an instance in the New Testament where we have a similar thought in Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, the apostle Peter had been out fishing and he had caught nothing. Of course, we know that the Savior, whenever he came, he told him to cast out his net for a draught. And Peter, being an experienced fisherman, he didn't question the Lord, but he obeyed the Lord. And of course, we know that the Lord brought in a great catch or a great draught of fish. And what did Peter say? Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" You see, being in the presence of the Savior, what did Peter say? He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Peter seen his own sinfulness, excuse me, Peter seen his own unworthiness to be in the very presence of the Savior. Peter had that reverence and that awe for the Lord that day, certainly, when he seen that great miracle which the Savior wrought. You see, we are to reverence the Lord for who he is, because he's holy. And that is one of the many attributes of the Lord, his holiness. That is why we have that fear. That is why we have that reverence for the Lord, because of who he is. You know, if we were to go to Buckingham Palace and we had the privilege to meet His Majesty, King Charles, well, we would come not boldly and address him irreverently. We wouldn't come and say, "Well, Charlie, how are you today?" Because that would be irreverent. That would be disrespectful. We would come and we would bow or we would curtsy. And we would wait till he would speak to us before we would speak to him. And yet, whenever we would have such reverence and respect for an earthly monarch, how much more should we have respect and reverence for the Lord our God? In the place of prayer, in the worshipping of his name, in the singing of his praises, in the reading of his word. And yet so many today, they take the name of the Lord in vain, because to them it's just another word, it's just another name. And certainly it grieves our hearts and grates in us whenever we hear the name of the Lord taken in vain. Why? Because his name is holy, because he is holy. And that is the Lord whom we worship. We are to have reverence for him because of who he is, but also because it is our privilege. Remember, Solomon here, he's writing to his son. He says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And that is the attitude which we ought to have as believers, that we can have that relationship with the Lord through his son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly what a privilege it is for us to be his people today. For brethren and sisters, you and I, we have been called. We have been called by his grace and his mercy to be his people. He has saved us in time, for time and for eternity, so that we would be in his family, that we would be his sons and his daughters for all eternity. And he has called us to be a holy people. There are many references in the Word of God where God commands his people to be holy. Right from the earliest verses of the Word of God to the closing chapters of the Word of God. Exodus 22 verse 11, Leviticus chapter 11 verse 44, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16, and even 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, he says, what manner of persons ye ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. You see, we read earlier from the book of Ephesians about our speech and how we are to speak the truth in love, how that no corrupt communication is to proceed out of any one of our mouths as believers, but our speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt, as God commands us in his word. And of course, that's what society needs today. Society needs to see us as the people of God speaking his truth in love, out of a love for the Lord and a love for their souls, that they would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord as we have, but also that we would be those ambassadors for the Lord as we ought to be. God commands us to be holy because he is holy. Could it be said of you? Could it be said of me, brethren and sisters, this morning that we are holy? Are we seeking to live a life of holiness to the glory and honour of the Lord because of who he is and because it is our privilege? C.H. Spurgeon commented on this. He said, how reverent should our worship be where angels veil their faces? Men should surely bow in lowliest fashion. Sin is akin to presumptuous boldness, but holiness is sister to holy fear. Thought those last words are very telling. Holiness is sister to holy fear. Of course, because of who the Lord is, that ought to impact how we live our lives for the Lord and for his glory, how we conduct ourselves, what we say, what we don't say, where we go, where we don't go, and all of these things should be impacted by the fact that God is holy and we are to reverence him. Wherever we go, wherever we are working, no matter where it may be, in the factory, in the school, in the home, on the farm, in the shops, whenever the unsaved look upon our lives, do they see someone who is holy, someone who is seeking to live their life for the Saviour? Well, I trust and pray that's the case. But the topic, or the title of my message this morning was a question: is a Christian to hate? Of course, we think of the fact that God is love, and that is true. But we have read here this morning words which are challenging, because it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And that's what really stood out for me, because, you know, as believers we are to have a hatred for these things. Now, that doesn't mean that we are to be hateful people in the sense that nobody can get on with us, nobody can work with us, that we think we're better than everybody else. No. But the fear of the Lord, as the Bible tells us, is to hate evil. So we think, secondly, here that we are to hate what God hates. Now, as the writer here says, that we are to hate evil. Now, what does that mean? We are to hate that which is bad, in other words. Of course, we could say that sin is evil, and of course we are to hate sin. Now, before I go any further, it's very easy to spot the evil and to spot the sin in other people's lives. But as we sang there a little while ago about search me, O God, we must search our own hearts first and foremost. Because as the people of God, we are to hate that which is evil. Because God hates that which is evil. Because all that which is evil is ultimately against him. The Saviour commanded us, yes, to love our enemies and to do good to them which persecute us. We are to love because God is love, but we are also to hate that which God hates, as the Bible commands us here. At those last words of verse 13 there say, those things do I hate. And so God has given to us in his word an example of how we are to live. We are to love what God loves, but we are to hate what God hates. Because all those things which are against God are against him. And we are to hate those things. John Gill, the commentator, said, all evil in general, evil thoughts, evil words, evil actions, evil company, evil worship and evil doctrines, and by the fear of the Lord, which shows itself in an hatred of evil because of the loathsomeness nature of it, and being contrary to God and to his will, as to it appears in the glass of the law, and especially in the glass of pardoning law. So in other words, whatever God's word reveals to us that God hates, we are to hate. And of course it does that in not only speaking of that which is evil, but also of pride, of arrogancy, of the evil way and the froward mouth. And we'll just go through these quickly this morning. We are to hate pride. Now that may not be a very politically correct thing to say today, but it's what the Bible teaches us. We are to hate pride. Because pride is the exaltation of self to a standard and a height above the Lord himself. Of course, that's what the devil wanted to do. As Lucifer, the archangel, he wanted to exalt his position to above that of God. Of course, his heart was full of pride and he fell in his sin of pride because though he was a beautiful angel who guarded the throne of God, yet he wanted to be like the Most High, but he couldn't. And of course, we know that he caused a third of the angelic host to fall with him. But what is the message of society today? What is the message of our government? Promote pride. And it's rammed down our throats by government, by institutions, by business today. Recently, you couldn't have went to the hole in the wall of a particular bank, and they were telling you how they supported pride. But yet God hates pride. Yes, God loves sinners and has sent his son to save sinners, but God hates pride. Because pride is the exaltation of self above God. It is a promotion of the desires of the flesh over the will of God and the word of God. Proverbs 16 verse 18 tells us, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Psalm 10 verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. We are to hate pride. Now I don't mean that we are to hate people because they are caught up in sin. We are to have a compassion for them. We are to pray for their souls. Because as the psalmist told us there, they will not seek after God. Neither would we have sought after God unless God had worked by his Holy Spirit in a way of grace. But we are to hate pride. Even though we're told to promote that, even though we are told to support it and to encourage people in pride we are not, according to the word of God. And even though that may not be a politically correct thing to say, that's what God's word says. That's what God requires of you and me as believers. Now, I'm not saying that we go out of our way to be hateful people, no. But whenever the test comes, that we stand for what the word of God says. That we will not support or praise or encourage the things of pride. We are also to hate arrogancy, and that is haughtiness. Again, a similar thought to pride, the lifting up of ourselves against God. You see, in Romans chapter 1, the people worshipped the creation, the creatures, rather than the creature or the creator. And of course, the Bible tells us that God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do that which is unseemly. And that was out of a heart of pride in those individuals, because they desired the things of the world, the temporal lusts of the flesh, and all of those things which come from a sinful and debased walk in this life. And how many are living like that today? We are also to hate not only haughtiness and pride, but the evil way. Of course, that is something similar to evil. It's the same word in the original for evil, but the word way there is the word for a path or a journey. And of course, we are to hate the way of the sinner, the road that they're going on, that road which will lead them to a lost eternity in hell. We want them to be saved. We ought to pray for that. We ought to seek to win them by speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4, verse 15, and to see them walking with God, to see them in a relationship with the Lord. Of course, because that's the way we were walking before we were saved. Well, we may not have outwardly been an evil person. We may have been a very morally upright person. We may have been even a very religious person. But it was still evil in the sight of God if we were going about to establish our own righteousness over the righteousness of God. And so we are to hate the evil way. We are to hate as well the froward mouth. Of course, that's to do with our speech. And that's why we read from Ephesians 4 earlier on. And that word froward there really means that which is perverse. Again, there is to be no corrupt communication or no perverse words to proceed out of our mouths as believers. And may God put a guard over our tongues. May God put a bridle over our tongues that we would not speak that which would dishonor his name, which would hinder or mar our testimony as a Christian. Yes, we are to love. We love God. We are to love sinners and have a compassion and a burden to see them won. We are to love what God loves, but we are also to hate, because out of a reverence and a respect for the Lord. And even though that will draw the ill comments of society, even though that will perhaps cost us friendships and opportunities in work or in the world of education, but we are to fear the Lord. We are to reverence the Lord. And that is why we hate that which God hates, because that is what God expects of us. Again, we're not to be hateful people. We're not to be those who think we're better than others because we're Christians and because they aren't saved. But we are to, in a way, have that hatred for what God hates. To seek to live in a way which pleases God, because we love the Lord and because we have that reverence and that awe for him. That ought to be the attitude of the Christian, to reverence the Lord and to hate what he hates. Yes, we are the people of God. We are to love because God is love. But we must be against what God is against. False teaching. the casual worship of God, the taking in vain the name of the Lord, and so much more we could mention. We are to be against those things and pray against those things as the people of God. May God help us to be those believers which love him and have that reverence and that awe and that fear for him as we ought to have. And also to that, have that holy hatred, not to go out and sin, but to have that holy hatred for that which God is against, as we ought to have as the people of God. May God bless his word to our hearts today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let us close our meeting in prayer. And we thank you for your attention this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for the word of God to our hearts. And Lord, certainly words of challenge and perhaps even a word of rebuke. And Lord, I pray that we would not be hateful people. We would not be people that come across in the wrong way. But Lord, we would be people who come across as those who love the Lord and have a respect and reverence for thee, O God. That we would speak the truth in love, and that, Lord, we would hate those things which, Lord, thou dost hate. Lord, help us now and write these words upon our hearts, and may they be evident in each and every one of our lives. Take us now to our homes in safety and be with us throughout the rest of this day, and bring us again in thy will this evening to the house of God. And may we know thy blessing and thy presence with us, for it is in Jesus' precious name we ask.